Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our monthly commission meeting. Let us begin, please, with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, could we have a roll call, please?
Good evening, Commissioners. I'll take the roll call. Chair Hartwig?
I am present.
Vice Chair Hurd?
I am present.
Commissioner Castillo?
Excused.
Commissioner Griggs Murphy?
Present. Here.
Commissioner Montgomery?
Here.
Commissioner Griffith?
Here.
Commissioner Jung Lee?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, do we have a motion for last month's minutes?
Move to approve.
Moved.
Second.
Seconded. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions?
Abstention.
All right, carries.
I have an abstention.
Oh, okay. We have one abstention. It was not here. Old or unfinished business? I believe we have none.
There is none.
There is none. Good. Any modifications to the agenda? I have none. No one else has any. So we will move to new business. Item A
is consideration of a resolution authorizing the executive director to conditionally award 31 project-based vouchers to Satellite Affordable Housing Associates for the Ancora Place project competitively awarded through the County of Alameda's A1 NOFA, which is our first County of Alameda A1 NOFA award. And I would like to introduce Michelle Hassan, our director of leased housing, who will provide a brief report.
Good evening, Commissioners. Michelle Hassan, director of leased housing. I thought what I'd first do is give you an overview of our focus for the award of this PVV allocation, because it was a little different. What we decided to do in this offering was use the limited Section 8 resources we have to expand the number of affordable housing units in Oakland, not merely by shifting existing resources from the HCV program in private rental units to PVV, the PVV program. The goal was to limit per project awards to 25% of the total units in a project unless the project seeks to provide service-enriched housing for special needs populations, and target available vouchers to units designated for 20 to 30% of AMI households. So our focus was really to give a deep subsidy and assist those families who have the lowest incomes. In the past, you would see that we were primarily looking at families below 50%, but we really tried to narrow the focus to try to support outreach to homeless families and make an impact. And I think with the awards that we made, you're going to hear about today, that we are making an impact. For Ancora Place, this was through the A1 County NOFA, and I just want to give you a little background on that NOFA. November 8th, 2016, the voters of County of Alameda passed Measure A1 Affordable Housing Bond. It provided for the issuance of up to $580 million in general obligation bonds for affordable housing programs countywide, and authorizing up to 8,500 affordable housing rental units. On October 1st, 2018, the NOFA, through the Alameda County, and requests for regional pool and Bay City allocations was launched. And that appropriation was for $75 million in the first funding round. I just want to share with you what they finally issued. So overall, 18 projects were selected, were recommended to the board, with a total of 1,500 units, 1,477 affordable units, which include 443 units restricted to households at 20% of AMI, which is really very low income households. And this project that you're going to hear about today is located at 2227 International Boulevard, 77 total units, 31 PVV units, 15 units to serve homeless households, And the PVV subsidized units, all of those units will serve households at 20% to 30% of AMI. Again, very, very low income families. SAHA will provide on-site services. And I do have here in the audience some staff from SAHA who can provide some additional information if you'd like. But we think that this award, among the others, will really assist in serving homeless families and families with very, very low income. And so the recommendation for this award comes to you for your consideration.
Thank you, and we're available for any questions.
Questions? Motions?
I'll move to approve, but I did have a question, though.
Yes.
Where's the SAHA staff?
SAHA staff?
Could you come forward, please?
Yeah. This is Ruben Ferris,
uh-huh.
And he is the associate project manager with SAHA.
Okay, I just have two comments I want to make. Thank you. And most importantly, as a resident who was homeless, and I'm sitting in this seat now advocating for homeless, I'm grateful to see that some of the vouchers is going to help the homeless population. Thank you very much. Number two, in your letter, you have 15 years of experience. 15 years of experience in your letter that I read. Wow, that is wonderful. And I just want to just tell you how much the need is for homelessness. The public housing guidebook, mm-hmm. ending homelessness, that's how much of a great need this is. And when I read this, I was so happy. And of course, I'm going to say yes to it. I was once out there. Thanks to the Oakland Housing Authority, I'm not homeless anymore. I'm sitting here advocating for those who are homeless. So thank you very much. That's all I want to say. Thank you very much. And I've already motioned to approve this.
Second.
Moved, seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? It carries.
Thank you, Commissioner.
B.
Item B, yes. Consideration of two resolutions authorizing the Executive Director to conditionally award 34 project-based Section 8 vouchers to Community Housing Development Corporation for the Friendship Senior Housing Project and conditionally award 27 project-based Section 8 vouchers to Axe Community Development Corporation related companies for the 95th and International Project competitively awarded through the City of Oakland under the 2017-2019 NOFA. And just a point of clarity, this 25th and International is directly across the street from our 24th, but we are not directly involved in this deal. They don't really need us. So having said that, I will turn it over again to Michelle Hassan, Director of Leased Housing, for a quick overview.
So again, this project had the same focused population. 25% of the total units would be awarded unless there was a focus on special needs populations. And we were targeting vouchers for units designated at 20 to 30% of AMI. So let me speak about 95th and International. This is a project between related companies and Axe Community Development. You know pretty much the location. It's across the street from 94th and International. This was awarded as the Housing Authority participated in the city's NOFA this year. And this project has 55 total units. 27 of those units are being requested to be awarded for project-based vouchers. The population to be served are families. And 14 units will be set aside for formerly homeless or those at risk of homelessness. So again, the project is meeting the needs that OHA has stated. We think units for families is really important. We think that the continued development in East Oakland is additionally important, that corridor continue to be built up with affordable, safe housing for families. And so we certainly support this project. I have here in the audience related staff, Charlotte Abrams, the project manager, who can speak more specifically about the project, but we think that it will bring a real revitalization to that area.
Okay.
That concludes our report, and we're here for any questions. Sorry.
And where's the staff?
Anything, staff, Ms. Abrams?
Could you come forward, please? Now, I just want to ask you two questions. In terms of families, how are we going to support them?
The families at the property?
Mm-hmm.
So there will be extensive social services provided by ACTS Community Development Corporation.
Okay.
So we're going to have, in addition to those services, a community room with a community kitchen.
Okay.
There will be a computer lab. There will be on-site resident services, offices, as well as a leasing office.
Okay, great. My second question. And I'm a dad in the first with the first staff. In terms of homeless, how are we going to support them?
So there will also be some services provided by ACTS Community Development. They'll reach out individually to each family, providing these management services for those homeless.
Okay. As you know, when you come out of homelessness, you need a lot of help. And you need a lot of caring help. And you need a lot of kind help. And it's not an easy transition, but for me, Oakland House Authority made it easy, and I'm grateful to them for that. And I'm grateful to you for providing those homeless residents with vouchers. Oh, thank you. That's it for me.
Any more questions? Motions?
I move approval for both projects.
Second.
Moved, seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any abstentions? Okay. Carries. Item C.
Thank you, Commissioners. Item C, consideration of a resolution authorizing the Executive Director to execute a 20-year contract extension to the current agreement with 2719 Foothill Boulevard LP, a California limited partnership and project owner, Satellite Affordable Housing Associates, to continue the project-based voucher assistance for 65 units at the Orchards Apartment. I will turn it back over to Michelle Hazan, who can talk about this renewal.
So the Orchards is one of our earlier projects. I think they went into contract, 10 years. They had a 10-year contract, and that contract expired in November. They came to us for an extension. We think that it's important to continue the affordability of this project. And the project is serving families. I believe it has 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units. It is one that is central to that location. And we do have Saha staff here who can speak about how the 10 years with OHA has gone in terms of our partnership. They tend to be very responsive. When we contact them, they do contact us and see if they can resolve issues with families. So we do have that one-on-one contact with them. And again, we're recommending the renewal of this project for 20-year extension.
And just to remind the board, the HOPWA, the HOTMA Act that passed in 2016, unanimously before the last election, by the way, and signed by President Obama, included this additional 5 years, so rather than 15, we can go for 20, so we're awarding the 20 years.
Yes.
And that concludes our report, and we're here for any questions.
Can we get
some staff? Mm-hmm. Yes. Satellite staff? Anyone would like to come up? I have Sarah Abramowitz here to answer any questions.
Commissioner, can you turn your mic on, please?
A little bit about the
project. Yeah, Barbara, your mic is not on.
Yes, it's 65 units.
Yeah, the mic doesn't seem to be working, or speak right into it.
Well, the,
and pressure button.
Yeah, Barbara, your mic is
mic
off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Now we're good.
Sorry. The mic was on. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I just need a little bit more information about the project before I vote on what the voucher, the program.
Okay, it's 65 units. It's actually, it's for seniors.
Okay.
So it's been operating very well for the last 10 years. It's in really good condition, physically and financially, thanks to the vouchers. And we have residents who've been there all 10 years. There's a lot of longevity there. And it's a nice building. It's got gardens, community gardens, and a lot of outdoor space. It's on Foothill, in the Fruitvale area.
Okay, because that's kind of a diverse neighborhood, isn't it? Okay, yeah, all right. Okay,
really good transit opportunities there as well.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Oh, go ahead. Sorry. I'm finished. Go ahead.
I have a sort of unrelated question, but I did see in the news recently that a mother and her child were killed on Foothill close to your project. And given that you serve many seniors, I wonder if Saha has also been advocating for a traffic light, because it is a very busy street, and do worry about pedestrian safety there. Or have you heard anything from the city?
In the asset management department in the main office, so the site staff may be more plugged into that.
I see. Okay, thanks. But hopefully you will, you know, add your voice for traffic safety. I move approval of the extension for 20 years.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? It carries. Doing
Thank
good
you,
things with vouchers.
Yes.
So there was one project, Friendship Senior, that's also being awarded, and I just want to make sure that you
okay.
all saw that as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to item D. Item D is consideration of a resolution authorizing the executive director to execute an administrative services agreement with RAMP and OPI that will provide the authority a single administrative fee of $100,000 each year that RAMP or OPI receives developer fee in excess of $100,000 for any project. This is, again, evolving how we do business in a different way. And so I wanted to just take a few minutes and have Dave Cadeau, who heads our Office of Real Estate Development, just explain what these agreements are.
Thank you, Dave Cadeau, Senior Director of Real Estate Development. So just as a brief background to this, as you'll recall earlier, I think it was earlier this year, this board approved the creation of RAMP Housing, Inc., which is a 501c3 nonprofit intended to handle all of our general partnership and developer and guarantor obligations for any low-income housing tax credit projects that we develop from here on out. The first one being the Oak Groves rehabilitation, which we are planning to close financing on within the next 6 weeks or so. At the time, we believed that RAMP Housing, Inc. could receive its 501c3 determination letter in time for the closing of this particular deal. However, as you'll all recall, the federal government shut down for quite some time, and the IRS has not come through with their letter yet. As a result of that, we have had to find a substitute general partner guarantor development entity, and we're reverting back to OPI to play that role. And so in order to have OPI serve that role and be able to take up RAMP's obligations until RAMP has given its 501c3 and substituted back into the deal, we needed to effectively amend our administrative fee agreement between RAMP Housing, Inc. and the Housing Authority to allow Housing Authority staff and Housing Authority resources to be used in the development of those projects. We felt that the simplest way to do that was to simply combine OPI and RAMP as not as a single entity, but as a you know, two entities that are doing effectively the same activities on a single fee agreement that would allow us to, you know, justify the use of Housing Authority staff and resources on those projects. I think that's the gist of it. It's very similar to the agreement that you passed back in February, but if there are any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
I have one question. Does that mean that moving forward that there will be no differentiation between RAMP and OPI?
No, that's not the case. There are still two distinct entities, and in fact, you know, for future deals, we are hopeful we will have RAMP's 501c3 in place and OPI will be kept out of the conversation entirely. this is effectively a temporary measure that allows us to use OPI. You know, there might be a case where RAMP has too much on its plate from a guarantor perspective, and we might want to have OPI play that role again. So it'll be good to have this lined up and ready to go if we hit that. But I don't foresee that happening. But they are going to be two separate entities.
So was the purpose of RAMP then to clarify accounting or responsibility or some mixture of the two?
All of the above. I mean, I think first and foremost in my mind, you know, RAMP was created to give some separation between OPI and RAMP with respect to guarantor obligations. And OPI is in what would be considered an unusual situation of directly owning roughly 1,600 units of housing.
Right.
And so we want to insulate them from that risk as much as possible.
Right, right. Of course. Okay, good. Any motion?
I'll move to approve.
Moved?
Second.
Seconded? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Carries.
Thank you,
Commissioner.
Now we go to the consent agenda.
I move approval of the consent agenda.
I second.
All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? We have consent.
Very good. Thank you, commissioners.
Let's see, where are we going now? We're now going to, we have item F, recognition of people wishing to address the commission. We do have cards. Okay, very good. Okay, let's see. We have, is this Tremp?
Check.
Gone? Not sure if I'm reading that right. Trina?
Trina.
Yeah. Trina, okay, good. Yes, yes.
Hi,
do I get up
there? Yes. Step up and just give us your name and the mic.
Hi, my name is Trina Burton. How are you guys today? Okay, so the reason why I'm here, I hope I'm addressing it right. I'm here due to the fact that I had problems on the property that I live on for quite some time with a particular resident. Well, she's not there anymore, but I haven't got a response. She assaulted my son and my daughter. I have the police reports here about 4 or 5 years ago. She was still up under me for the whole 4 years. I went through mediation meetings with housing to try to resolve the issue. Nothing ever happened. And the only reason why I didn't step up because I didn't know the law or I didn't know the rules. And then I thought they would retaliate on me by me saying, by me saying something. Because I didn't know the laws. I never actually read the paperwork. I would just sign the paper. You know, you got a house and you're happy, you know, kids. So you feel like if you say something, you might get retaliated on or you don't. But I work every day, go to school since I've been there. On my record, it reflects that. I graduated from the MOMS program 12 years ago, 11 and a half years ago. And I've been successful on my journey since then. I'm working with Nancy O'Malley and with the DEAL program for reentry I go into the prisons talking to women and children about different things. So I feel like, you know, for me to have to be subjected to that kind of behavior, I didn't cause anything. That person has had numerous amount of assaults on the property. I have police reports with that. They couldn't give me certain information, but they gave me the docket numbers because it was children involved in that case also. So that's why I'm here. She harassed me from 2:15 all the way until 2:19. So 19, she would call and say music. Assault. She would do anything she could to just harass me and my family. And it was just so overwhelming. I was going to work every day, stressed out, going to work. Sometimes I had to miss work because I had to go to court. So right now I have a restraining order against her. Her name is Shanika Pate. I have a restraining order against her. We can't find her now, right? So I went to the courts to she came back to the property. Mind you, let me just make it really fast. She came after she got removed from the property or moved for whatever reason. They finally got her out of there. She came back a month later. Me and my family were outside. It was on St. Patrick's Day. It was my daughter's birthday. And so we celebrate St. Patty's Day, so we're all outside or whatnot. You know, just enjoying ourselves, invited the neighbors or whoever wanted to, you know, participate. Out of nowhere on a Sunday evening, she's by the mailbox. It's like, are you serious? So, you know, so at that point, I'm like, you know, I only can take so much, you know. And then when they did offer me a place, it was downgraded. It was something that you would give. I didn't want to accept it because where I live at, it was pretty decent. And they kind of like downgraded, so I kind of left it alone due to the fact that I was nervous. I owed rent, back rent, you know, so I didn't want to say anything. I'm like, okay, if I say something, they're going to, of course, retaliate against me. So I had to have the BACS program help me with that to bring me up to date, you know, on things. So it's just been a battle dealing with this. I can't get the address. I took the police report and the restraining order to OHA for them to serve her because I thought maybe they would know where she was at. So Officer Chris, he tried his best to help me. He was like, Ms. Burton, I know it's been hard for you. You know, you've been going through this stuff. I know coming out to the house and all these false allegations on my housing record due to the fact that this person has caused so much havoc on the property since I've been there. Like I said, I was scared to say something due to the fact I thought I was going to be retaliated against because, you know, of course, it can happen. So with that being said, Erica is my manager. She knows exactly where the person, exactly where she's at. And the reason why I know this is because Officer Chris told me that she gave him the address. But, of course, he couldn't give it to me. I understand that. So I had a third party, which was my coworker, Sherry Hackinson, try to retrieve the information so she can go serve her. She went to the police department, got the documents. There was no address on the documents for her to serve her. So I had to go back to court in Hayward to get an extension. You know, so it's just been a whole bunch of riffraff, you know, and it's just overwhelming at this point. So I'm just like, I'm ready for whatever at this point. You know, if it happens, it happens. I just need some kind of closure, and I haven't got that.
All right. Your time was up, was the beat, but I want to just...
I'm sorry.
I just, no problem. I just want to thank you for your whole process in
yes.
life from going on. I'm impressed with that. I'm not sure what we can help you with.
Okay.
So what I would like you to do is talk to maybe Chief DePlessis in the back.
Yeah. Okay.
Because yes. I don't know how we can help
okay.
you. But have a conversation with
okay.
you.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for listening.
Yes. And thank you for coming in.
Okay.
That is obviously
all right.
a
yeah,
disturbing
thank you.
Okay. situation.
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you. Then we have Deborah Russ.
Good evening. Y'all have seen me here before. And like Trina said, she's in the same building as I am. The building that we're in, they did have an entrance gate that was there. When I moved in there, they had removed the entrance gate. While that gate is removed, it's allowing people to come into the property and to do criminal activity. Like Trina was saying, not just the tenants was doing criminal activity on the property, also there was people coming in. I also have gave a letter in year 2016 that a lawyer wrote to Housing Authority to ask them to put a gate back up there. They never did that. So about a month ago, a man came trying to come in my unit, 5 o'clock in the morning. And I've been dealing with Oakland Housing Authority, and the same thing with Mrs. Bolton. She's been going through the same thing. They don't want to. They refuse to do what they need to do. When I put a claim in, they keep on taking me back and forth through changes. So I want you to read this because now they talk about they gave me a two place unit to move into. Now that the place is ready, so I asked Mark. I said, "Well, what happened with relocation? Because y'all is liable. According to the law, and I have this here with me." They're lobbying for my safety on the property. They told me when I'd been moved in there that that place was a community gated place of safety. And also, Ms. Burton can verify because she's been going through the same thing. That same tenant came back on the property, stalking us, and also a man came on the property. I've been addressing to Mark. I've been addressing to Eric Johnson, and also have been talking to the city council. Now, I got a place now. Now they hesitate to even get me to relocate with the funds to do what they're supposed to do. And then they call me on the email, say, okay, well, we got to need some more information. I said, what information you need when you have gotten a letter from attorney year 2016 to say put a gate up there for our safety? The gate is still not there. Anybody can come. They had a fight last night on the property, And same thing with Ms. Burden, she's been going through the same issues I've been going through. So I want to submit this to the commission to read this stuff. And also, I'm trying to get out of there so I can take my foster child. And it's also, excuse me, because I lost a best friend today, and my niece was in a coma 2 years ago, and she's getting sick. And I really didn't want to come, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I told Trina, I said, Trina, they had a meeting. I didn't forget it was today, but God is good. He wants me to be here be to tell the truth because they are responsible. They're liable. I only asked for $30,000. Do you know my safety is worth $30,000? That my kids can be killed? I can be killed when a man came in my place, and then you're going to sit here and hesitate for me to move? I'm going through enough. I'm stressed out. I'm stressed out, and they need to be responsible. They don't care. They didn't care about Mrs. Bolton when her child got beat from that same tenant, and I was there. Y'all commission got to do something to change this management and put people who care for the community at their safety. That is on your website, that y'all said that your community going to be a place for safety and for protecting your tenants. If we paying rent, then we supposed to have that. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Ms. Ross.
Thank you. Thank you.
Eric, can we do here?
We're doing
it. Oh,
no okay.
Comment. What are we doing?
Okay. I have no comment.
Okay.
All right, good. So now we are moving to written communications.
Written communications are the monthly report, which we're here for any comments or questions. And just a quick note at the end, also just the commissioner's schedule. We are having the budget meeting on May 13th, okay. And then we move the May 27th meeting to June 3rd, so the regular meeting. It looks like we may have a couple of items that do need to be presented at that meeting, but if we can postpone them or whatever, I'll work with staff to see what we can do. And that's all my report.
Wow. Excellent. Boy, the efficiency with which we are operating now is scintillating. okay, so now we're moving to reports of commission committees.
Oh, could I just ask a question?
Surely.
I appreciate all the reports that have been given to us, especially on the special needs programs that have been approved. Mm-hmm. I noticed that in some, and I forgot to bring my packet with me tonight, but that, say, for 50 foster youth, the bridge program that we approved, I think we had 16 currently being processed.
Yes, Michelle Hassan is making her way up to talk about it. I would say that if you remember last year in the budget, we moved everything under leased housing. So all of these building bridges is what we call the big umbrella. Are now under Michelle. Do you want to?
Yeah,
sure.
So just wondering, is it taking time for the service providers like Emancipated Youth and First Place Youth to refer people to us? Is that why things are taking some
longer
time?
Than we thought, right? So thank you, Commissioner Lee. What we have, and we actually have a meeting this week with our providers, but what we're hearing is it actually takes time to, one, locate units that then they can match the youth with.
Okay.
So there's a whole matching component to the foster youth program, you know, making sure that people can live together, that they're ready to pay whatever their expenses are, and then finding the units to do that. Interestingly enough, while they shouldn't be discriminated against, youth of color, there can be some challenges finding units where landlords are willing to do that. They have a group of properties that they have used for foster youth, but remember, not only do they work with foster youth in the Building Bridges program, they're also working with them in the sponsor-based program. So between the two programs, you know, they fill the units they have to use that they actually have master leases on. But finding additional units, they've noted, has been somewhat of a challenge.
I see.
So that's what we see as the lag in terms of leasing the 50 slots that they have.
Thank you for the explanation. Mm-hmm. That was really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you.
I'm done. Thank you.
Okay, any more questions? Okay, then
I just had a comment.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Lenina, could you come forth? So I just want to thank you. I read the report, and there's some good stuff in that report. And I just want to thank you for the work we're doing under FSS.
Two things.
2019 spring, summer activities. Thank you for this. And is this something commissioners can attend?
Yes. If it's a public activity that's not restricted to youth only, absolutely.
Okay. All right. That's one question. And my other question was, hold on, let me get it here. The year-end report, Lions Pride Roaring Forward at Lions Creek. This one here. Did you do this one? Or did you
that actually is not under Lenita's purview. So if you address the questions to me, I can have the right stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, I just liked reading it. Okay. And thank you for the information. I particularly appreciated the survey results that was provided in this report. Okay.
Anna Kadamaskaya will share that with Lion Creek Crossing staff. She is the director in charge of that, all right. Commissioner.
Okay, I can do that. But thank you for your work on your FSS. Thank you very much.
All right, so now, did we have any commission committees meeting in the last month?
No.
No. Okay. Excellent. Then we are on to announcements by commissioners.
Ms. Garcia, did you have my handouts? Mm-hmm. Okay, I have three announcements other than the handouts. Thank you for bearing with me, but I wanted to make the announcement that United Seniors of Oakland and Alameda County, they're having their 28th annual convention, and that's Friday, June 7th. Starts at 8:30, and there's a handout for that. And I just want to stress the importance in supporting our seniors. It was brought to my attention that seniors are being scammed, and I want you all to know about that. And maybe even reach out and attend this, but I want to know if there's any way that we can help them in that area. So I don't want seniors being scammed, and I need to let them know how to better protect themselves. So this is a handout. The other thing I wanted you guys to know about is a Consumer Connection magazine, which I'm a part of, a commissioner with the Alameda County Consumer Affairs, they have an article called Expelled. And I want you all to know about preschoolers are getting kicked out at an alarming rate. And I want you all to know about that, all right? Because we serve preschoolers. And I want the commissioners to read the article and gain some insight and knowledge from it. And the other thing I want to mention is, with the help of the Oakland House Authority, me being a resident commissioner, I'm graduating this year.
Amen.
And I'm graduating. I'm going to be getting a paralegal degree. And that's going to be happening. Oh, my God. Thank you. There's two graduations. Oh, my goodness. Two of them. First one, that's going to be coming out of Merritt College. Merritt College holds their graduation, Paramount Theater. That's going to be on the 22nd. The other graduation, I'm getting too excited here. The other graduation is the Peralta College's African-American graduation. It takes place May 18th. That's going to be at BB Memorial. And I just want to say that when you are a resident who has come out of homelessness, you've gone through a lot in your journey. And you excel to be able to not just graduate, but do other things with housing, or commissioner, all that kind of stuff. I so appreciate that. And while in Washington, is this still April? Yeah, in April, I got sick toward the end of the NARO conference. I'm so grateful that Deputy Wells, is she here?
She is not here tonight.
Okay, I just want to reach out and thank her. She was there toward the end of the conference when I got sick, and she ended up having to stay an extra day just so that she could be there to support me. But I appreciate her, and I appreciate Oak Sound's authority to just enable me to just be there and do the passionate work that I love doing in advocacy. And one more comment. Please bear with me, please. One more comment. In the Oakland Post, and I have some copies of in the Oakland Post. There's an article that says district dismantles oversight of low-income student programs. Oh my goodness! When I read this, I had to get a bunch of them. So everyone has one of these. And I want y'all to know about this because Oakland Housing Authority, we serve low-income students. And I want to know if this is something that's going to affect our students. So each commissioner has one of these, and I have some extra copies. And I close by saying this. I so appreciate serving on this commission. I so appreciate being able to be a voice for families, reentry, homeless, people who don't work, just being able to just voice what the needs are in our community. And I so appreciate you supporting me in that. And one more thing, the RAB is holding their strategies for better engagement retreat, and that's going to be May 13th. And with God's help, I hope I'm able to attend this. But I'm really hoping that I can reach out and attend this. So thank you for listening to me, and forgive me. I know I talk a lot, but the work that we do here is serious. I don't forget my journey out there sleeping in my car when I was homeless. I don't forget that. And so when I can come here and speak about what that was like, be able to vote for more vouchers for the homeless, be able to help reentry population, be able to just be a voice, I speak up. So thank you very much. That's it for me.
Well, I guess I'll just mention that we were in D.C., the heart of I don't know what. But actually, it was very encouraging because my personal impression was that D.C. has gotten a little bit more receptive to the message for housing than I've seen in the past. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's just personally my interpretation of what I saw. Mm-hmm. And I'll also say that we're really fortunate to have Barbara Lee as our congressperson, because there's a real difference between walking in to see a congressional staff and you have people sitting there listening politely to you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Versus someone who's really paying attention, asking questions, and engaged. And they were really engaged, and I really appreciate that. It gives me, like, at least some hope.
Yes. Exactly.
So, yeah, so it was a satisfying trip. Thank you.
I do have an announcement I forgot. June 4th is Affordable Housing Residents Advocacy Day in Sacramento. And I got a bus, as usual, for 55 passengers. And I always want to extend invitation to OHA residents. So I don't know who I would send it to, maybe to you and you.
Yeah, I know we'll give it out.
Perfect. But yeah. We have a bus that'll leave from Allen Temple Arms to go to Sacramento for Affordable Housing Residents Day. They have lunch. They visit legislators. They tell their own story. And then they come back or brought back to Oakland.
All in one. Wow. Ambitious. All right. I believe that we are actually prepared for a motion for adjournment.
Move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. Have a second?
Second.
Wood, let us adjourn. Everyone have a wonderful evening.